Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me. Yes, I am. Ring bang da 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 da. Where people down for mountain, them a make big speech. But poor people, the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feel the heat. Red country, why it's red country, why it's. In the ghetto part of town, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution coming in a Babylon, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young yourself, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big speech, time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering, son. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang, da, da, dang, dang, da, da, dang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but poor mongers, idol worshippers, them are sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your pumps and try to pick in poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools, your fool. Sure, cause a revolution, yeah. If we're going to steal the revolution, ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, ding da dang da dang da dang, dang. Whoa, whoa. No matter how them a come out and a kill off them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach, cause I don't want to see them all a preaching speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on sight a revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. This afternoon we'd go ahead and like to talk about how that government shutdown is, how can you survive government shutdown? Waiting for my buddy to call in. We're going to talk about how black people can survive the government shutdown and shut down, because this is like the first time it's happening. Talk about the economic collapse. And a few other things. So, again, how black people can survive government shutdowns and economic collapse, or can we? Can we survive this? It's Because we got to get hit the hardest. And one of the bigger problems, you know, something I was checking out something here, because government jobs have been more available to blacks than in the private sector employment over the years, especially under the guise of segregation. Blacks comprise about 14% of the population. I would think that number's a lot higher. And they make up about close to 18% of the federal workforce. I think that number's distorted too. But blacks are not really any positions of real power in the government workforce, just like almost on any damn job. And let's see, I think my guy's here. Hey, buddy, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Sherrod? Kofi the man.
How you feeling, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
All right. How was your week?
It was good.
It was good.
a minor problem here and there at work, but other than that, you know.
Yeah, but you got through the week.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you got through the week. I'm glad to know you're all right. You're doing a lot better than where last week. You know, you one more day. You can say one more day richer with me, and you're rich may not be in wealth, but you're rich in knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you came up with this, man. We were talking, and you came up with this. So I want to just go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, man. I was looking at you know, all this stuff going on with the government shutdown. And, you know, like you had mentioned, a lot of black people have jobs, you know, in one level of government or another, not necessarily all the federal government, but could be a school board, could be a school district, could be a, you know, state, county, or, you know, something like that in federal government. And as you mentioned, it was a lot of that is due to, you know, private sector discriminating against black people. There's a lot of nepotism in the workforce. And I think that's probably the main way in which white folks pass wealth and share wealth with each other is through nepotism and cronyism, you know, being of the same race and family and something like that. So they kind of make programs. And traditionally, the Congress would also have that nepotism, cronyism, and they'll create certain projects. Later, you know, people came to know it as pork barrel spending or whatever. They would use the, you know, power of government, create some jobs, build a bridge, build a water system or something like that, put people to work back in their home districts, you know, put a post office there, hire some people. So if government jobs have been all over and through the United States, and black folks have been one of the, you know, groups that have taken advantage of it, not negatively, but at least been able to say, okay, well, Uncle Sam isn't redneck cracker who won't give me a job, so maybe they'll give me a job. So they were for a while practicing minor affirmative action or something, getting black people coming in, especially black women. You know, because a lot of people have jobs in the government, and as we find, we know that, and white folks know that, especially racist white folks know that. And one of the things that they want to do is if they can't discriminate you and cut you out with a job in the private sector, they'll just get in office and, quote, reduce the size of government or shut the government down, which means we're still going to go after black folks that have jobs. So knowing this, we need to have some type of contingency plan, backup plan, third plan or something. Got to have some plan to deal with what happens to threaten, one, jobs, to threaten if you don't have or being susceptible to white folks' manipulation. And then, three, can we just avoid having to deal with them altogether and be like the ultimate, you know, solution for it? So, you know, that's kind of like my way of looking at it, at least start off, like, what will be the plan?
Let me throw something at you from some here I'm checking out. The shutdown may be short-lived. You know, some people go ahead and say it may not go ahead and last that long, but the longest federal government shutdown lasted 21 days. The last longest shutdown was December 16, 1995 to January 6th of 1996, and it furloughed federal workers. And they received, retro pay for the time they were out, and the Congress said that they would be paying again on the shutdown. You know, it just gave them like a paid vacation in a sense, you know, but it, to go ahead to put a person through this, you know, you still get backed up on some of your bills, some things would do, and to put a person through that, it's kind of a mental strain, you know, and I don't think that, you know, with all the stuff we've been going through, I think there's something that we need to go ahead and be trying to go ahead and feed into this system, because it just seems like it's keep on happening. And on top of that, they had the sequester, now they got the debt ceiling thing coming up. You know, and we seem to be, the programs they seem to want to go ahead and cut are the ones that go ahead and help poor folks and black folks. So, I really think it's more well past that time that we go ahead and devise our own system so we don't keep on trying to be a part of this, because it don't seem like it's helping us whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
You agree?
Yeah, I agree exactly. You know, what makes it relevant now is, that currently, like, until you're able to get, you know, that independent, be able to do for yourself, a lot of people out here have that government job and need that income. It's like, in order for us to get the investments or whatever we have to do, our resources up, either personally or collectively, make a plan either personally or collectively, that one of the key components that you need is that income coming in. And, you know, so we need to be thinking about how to utilize that income while it is coming in, transforming that into being independent. It's like you got to crawl before you can walk. And that should be how we would be looking at it. Like, even if we had jobs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, there shouldn't have been, we should have been thinking about, okay, how do we utilize this to transition to where we don't have to, one, have a government job, or two, don't have to rely on white folks to give us jobs. And it was like, for whatever reason, in the previous generation, you know, up until now, we're only been concerned about getting that job, getting an education or getting that skill and getting that job. And not as much concern about how do we create business, and, you know, how do we learn the skills, take the skills that we're learning either in the military or in the workforce, and then going in private sector and making something with it.
You know something? One thing that disturbs me about part of what you said was a lot of our people want to get that job. So once they get that job, it's like, okay, well, I'm in here. A lot of people just like, I'm settled, I'm satisfied. You know, the highest they'll ever go is to the curb, and they feel that, hey, look, I ain't got no business to work no harder. I got a job. That's it. Nothing else to go ahead and do a little bit better. People are satisfied. I can't totally blame them, but
yeah.
I think you should be striving to go ahead and do a lot better, especially when you got a family. You know, because then...
Exactly.
Today, I think it was a while back where it said it takes somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 really much to raise a child per year. So, you know, that's to go ahead and have, you know, the things that kid needs. A lot of people ain't making nowhere near that kind of money.
No.
So you should try to do better and do better with what you got and put your money into something. Because you ain't going to go ahead making it survive too much on this system here.
No, exactly. Because I know it's tempting for people to, you know, you get that job and you get that income coming in, you're paying your rent, or you start to save for a house and you start to get that mortgage payment, and it's 30 years, so you guys all got to pay this off. And then, you know, you want to get that car. There's this temptation to just, you know, you get in, you got your income coming in, you got your dental plan and your health care, and it's like, okay, I'm cool right now. I'll worry about other things and, you know, enjoy TV and enjoy everything else that's going around. And it's tempting to just say, okay, that's it. We, as an individual, I made it. But that is the situation that a lot of people who's in, you know, the government jobs or jobs that rely on the government, that's the situation they're in. And then at some point, a politician gets in a job, gets in the office and says, some interference.
I let some people in. We didn't quite know which one of them was going. Go ahead, Spanish brother. Let me chime in something you said real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
You got like we're dealing with the healthcare. With the healthcare situation, and you got to pay, you know, you got your co-pays and all that old stuff, and the way they go ahead and charge with the going to the doctor and all that other stuff. Man, it's really, really ridiculous on how they do in the medical field and how they overprice things and overcharge things. And again, how do you survive the government shutdown when every now and then you got to go ahead and look toward them government subsidies or some of that stuff? And I don't fault people for going ahead and getting into these, trying to go ahead and go to the government. I mean, that's what it's there for. I mean, why even take my tax dollars if you're not going to go ahead and assist me? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Leave your line open. Somebody else wants to chime in. 661.
What's up, brother? What's up, brother? I'm here.
Brother, how you doing?
How you been, brother? I was wondering where you've been, brother.
I'm working hard. Well,
don't you You ever get any sleep, man? You just got off there about 5 hours ago.
I'm saying, but I'm a family man. I'm always at home. I'm with my daughter right now, so, you know. And I ain't doing nothing over the weekend, so, you know. You know what I'm saying, bro? So, I'm just in my house. So I'm just constantly.
Let me ask you, brother Pianki, how do you feel about this government shutdown? Can black people survive this government shutdown? The economic crisis.
Blacks are disproportionately in government jobs compared to their numbers, and rightfully so, because they felt that there would be less discrimination amongst government jobs than there would be in the private sector.
Go ahead.
And yes, they will be affected. And that's just politics. That's the way politics works. People have concerns. You're going to either be affected today, or you're going to be affected in the future when things start backing up due to careless and reckless spending. One thing that should open the eye, is that they mentioned the fact my Social Security payments won't be going out. Mm. Well, I can understand them. Well, there really ain't no deal with most of Social Security is done electronically anyway. It's not no check in the mail.
But the post office will work
because the post office is funded separately. But the thing is that if they're saying Social Security payments won't be gone because there was no money because of raising the debt, I can't accept that because Social Security and Medicare is derived from people paying into their own trust account during their entire working life.
The subject is how black people can survive government shutdown, and that, for me, it's only, that this is beautiful news for you people, for the black man in America.
government. You know what? Let me say this.
Because if the rules of the country, you're not always going to be in the bottom no matter what. You're not always going to be getting scraps off the take. Always. So,
okay, hold on. Let me say this. Then,
you've got a better chance.
But they've done this before. And my thing is, you know, how do we get through it? And why do we keep on going ahead and believing that this system is really set forth? It's one thing that is real. A plus for us is having that passport, so you can go ahead and leave and still get the benefits of being part of this, doing in this country. But as far as going ahead, living here and doing stuff, I really think it's well past time that we go ahead and decide to pull up shop. But how do you go get through this whole crisis? What are you going to go ahead and put into place to go ahead so you can get through this whole thing? Brother Pianki, can you answer that?
What can you put into place?
Right.
Other things that you need to put into place is those circuit breakers. You should have your own enterprises. You know, I was talking about that this morning for about 3 hours on a Blog Talk Radio program I've been participating in. I think I started back in 2008 with some Zambians. And they just had a big trade conference in Pennsylvania, in Reading, Pennsylvania. And apparently it was attended very, very well. I couldn't make it. Africans coming from, you know, different countries and setting up their displays. We're talking about the opportunities that exist. Tourism. You know, I thought about you and tourism. They talk about building in those towns in Zambia outside of Livingston. They're talking about building tourist spots to attract more tourists and competing with who's there now.
Well,
so, there's a lot of you got the people coming out of South Africa that's there now. Everything from excursion buses to products that needs to be prepared, condiments. There's a need for a pilot aircraft for doing aerial, surveys and helicopters. It's a whole entire market that's available.
I mean, this is the thing, though, brother. Like, with this government shutdown and some of the black Americans, they now know that the financial stability of the United States isn't good. So now it's going to open up the doors naturally to more blacks wanting to leave the country and start up a new home somewhere where they can do for themselves, and they won't have to worry about the government around them. You understand? And now the United States dollar is worth a lot in these countries. So if anything that this shutdown should have done, it should have brought Negroes together. You understand? If anything, and made Negroes know they need to get out. If they didn't know before, now they know. They need to get out of the United States at the end of the day. But if niggas are still too dumb to get the message, then, you know, what can you say? Most Negroes ain't. But that's because a lot of... I think, again, when you have your little organizations in Africa, you lot scare Negroes off. Because really and truly, you're starting again. Right? You're starting again. And that's the thing. The fact that you lot are starting again, you lot just need hands and you lot need bodies, you lot need people that you can train and, you know, get to the position. A lot of black folks, they don't want to go to Africa because they don't think they can help or do anything. Like, you got all these Negroes who are going out, bourgeois Negroes who want to go to Africa, and they've already got their business. They've got this, they've got that. You know, you have to make a way to, make it more, entertaining, or more delectable, more of a choice for a Negro who ain't doing nothing and he ain't got nothing in America. Because it'd probably be better for a Negro who has no hope and is signing off welfare checks to go over to Africa and build with you, brother. It would be better for him. But, you know, you lot put on all this white man jargon and shit. You lot scare niggas away, man.
You agree with that, Covina, man?
You don't scare niggas away, man. The Negro party, we don't have no skills. You don't scare him away, man.
Yeah, I think I see where he's coming from, but I think that it has to reach desperation. Like right now, as the government shut down, I think the people got their last check, and it was a partial check. It wasn't a full check. So we got to see how long it is before they get their next check, and if they get one. So it's a matter of how much the desperation occurs and when, because supposedly most of them are going to get their money, but it's just a matter of can they wait. If the government stays or shut down, you know, any amount of time, you know, your bills still come up. You know, your bills will be up in November the 1st, right? So you know, are you going to be able to pay that phone bill? Are you going to be able to pay that rent or mortgage note? If it stays shut down for so long and people get foreclosed on, it doesn't matter if you get your money back later if you're foreclosed on or you're evicted or, you know. So it's like at that point, then maybe people will wake up, because you're talking about, like what my brother was talking about, you're talking about people who are actually employed, who rely on a government job, and then you have people who might be relying on government assistance. That's probably not the same type of black person. But so they may have.
Go
ahead, bro. I'm saying they may be like.
Just to add on to what you're saying, it's just like I'm saying, the majority of black folks ain't in a good position financially. Most black folks are living beneath the minimum wage, average wage, annually for that country, you know, for the average person in that country, from the UK to America. We have the biggest, our money's worth the most at the end of the day, especially if we went to Africa with it. But what I'm saying is that we got to remember that when these Negroes, these tycoons are going over to Africa, they know that they've got money, they've got all the skills and all of that, and they should be trying to say, look, it would be very easy if they went to black people and said, well, we're building in Africa, we need hands. I'm prepared to teach you a trade so that you can build and you can help us in our endeavors in Africa. Just come over. All we want is you to come over, bring your family over. We're trying to build schools. We're trying to start again. That's how you should be coming to the brother. That's how
let me chime on that.
Money and all that. Go on, brother.
Right, okay. Okay, yeah, see that? I think that right there is like a bigger picture thought. Because that right there is saying, like, if, let's say this person was a chemical engineer, or this person was a you know, some type of skilled engineer person, then that skill could be used in a country to benefit an underdeveloped country or something. You can go in a positive direction. But if you think about the government jobs, most of the people who got a government job in the black folks, they get a job in, like, social work, or they get a job in, like, education, or they get a job in, you know, they might be a park ranger, or they might be, so it's a job that wouldn't be able to, you can't take that skill that they have and move it to another country. It's only, they can only use it exactly where they are. It's not, they can't take it and go to Africa and say, I'm going to start a business as a, you know, security guard or something like that. They're relying on somebody to employ them. It's not skills that they can translate. So, and that's probably the majority of people.
They could take those security guard skills to Africa and start a security company like Gerald Walker done in Nigeria, where he operates armored cars and also provides security for events.
But what about the postman? What about the bus driver? What about, you know, people who ain't entrepreneur? They've been workers all their life. You understand? What about those people?
That's what I was saying.
This ain't for everybody, but people with bus driver skills, you know, they can do that.
But you lot can't do it. You lot ain't gonna be best prepared for the future. You ain't gonna be getting, if you're all about, you know, you a certain number of people, and you don't want educated people and so on, then do what you're doing, innit? But like I said, I don't see that as no togetherness. We need to do this thing in a collective, I feel. And like I said,
but also, all black folks ain't leaving America. You don't want that anyway.
Most of the Negroes that I know who are going to Africa out here in the UK, same way there's Negroes in America who's going out to Africa to build. So I know Rustas, I know, you know, black folks who are going back to Africa and building these organized. And what I don't deal with these niggas, because they're bourgeoisie. You understand?
Well, blacks in Europe is there for one thing.
Hold on. My point is that why am I going to leave one really big place here to go to another place and get the same problem? I'm going to want to go to people who are, or what can I say, who are not as skilled as me. It's just going to end up having another classist type of scenario. I don't think that the Negroes who've got money, they don't respect the man that goes out and does his building work. He might be a labourer, or he's got his little job. He don't respect the fact that this man might have had the same stupid job for 10 years, working in McDonald's or working in Tesco or in a supermarket, but he's never been late. Those are good skills to have, especially if you're going to build and you want to teach someone something. I want this man. This man's never late. He's always punctual. This is a man that
Let me ask you guys a question. Is there such thing as a black middle class? Because what I keep saying is that the U.S. government pretty much is the mainstay, the anchor of the black middle class in America. Y'all agree with that?
There's black middle class. We got areas around here that the average house is about $450,000. The community is all black. So, yeah, there's black middle classes.
So how much did they have to put down on their house?
Man, these people own
them. I know you don't know, but my point is this. I think that they have to go ahead and put in, blacks have to put in a little bit more, because we don't have that system established where we can go ahead and be like,
this community, Barrington Downs, that I know of, these black folks own them houses. Look at down in Georgia. I can't think of that community. That's all black. Prince George County, Maryland, that's all black.
What about there, out there in where you at, man? Do you see
Shaker
that?
Heights, Ohio, that's all black.
Yeah,
not
I think
all black.
Here, like, as you define middle class, I mean, because, like, that's a broad category, but I think if you're saying someone who, like, owns a home and, you know, has a income, I think that's probably 20 to 25% of black people are probably in that middle class. It's at least a quarter of people.
But we rate stupid things, brother. We would rate.
Yeah, you got 35,000 black millionaires in the United States.
35,000.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the average.
Hold on. Shouldn't that number be a lot higher than that?
It can always go up more.
From 35,000, and it's close to, about 40-something million black folks in America? With 35,000, that's unacceptable to me.
That's 10%.
Not 10%?
No, that's 5%.
That's less than
1%. It could be higher.
What we got, and our middle class is we've got a different middle class. Our middle class is basically the high class, or, you know, semi-rich class in our society, because the devil's society is totally different from our middle class. It would be different in the white man. A black middle class person would probably be seen as a working class person among white folks on wage level. You understand? So, you know, we got to understand. And I'm saying that Negroes, we worship the wrong shit. Now, a Negro will see you in your big car and immediately give you more respect than him. He'll give away his respect to that man because he's got a nice car, which he doesn't even know if he's paid for it or if it's even a rental. You understand? So a lot of Negroes lie in business as well. A lot of Negroes lie in business and act like they've got more than what they really have. A lot of Negroes do that.
Everybody lies in business. Everybody tells lies in business.
About what they got. I'm saying
everybody's lying in business. Everybody's telling some kind of lie, whether they want to or not. You know, everybody's lying in business. You may not call it that. Everybody's lying.
30% of black families, 30% of black families fall between the income of $50,000 and $150,000.
I think that's true.
30%. That'd be 90. That'd be 9 million.
I still think those are unacceptable numbers, looking at what we're up against.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my thing is that we have to respect everyone.
43% of white families, 46% of Asian families, and 33% of Latino families fall in that category.
But we got deeper roots here and done more work here.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I know that you live and work in a construction business, Pianki, right? And I'm saying you gotta respect the labourer, the one who tidies up after the building. You understand? Everyone should be respected equally for what they're fucking doing. That's the bottom line. Negroes don't want to do that. Because a Negro think, well, I'm a big businessman and I've got this and that money. When you go to Africa, that's done. We got to start again. Do you understand that? So there ain't going to be no rich. That's why a lot of the Negroes were making big money. They don't see no value in going to Africa and going to these other countries. Because their money will be reduced dramatically. You understand? Because they're not going to get the same money that they would get for doing the same work in Africa. You're not going to get it. You're going to have to pull down their prices.
Wait, how would your money be reduced?
Yeah, I think right there. I was going to say, I think right there, if people have a choice, which people do, as of right now, people have a choice. Those people that you're talking about who are successful in their country, they're not going to leave and go somewhere else. It's not even worth spending your energy thinking, if those people go to Africa. Those people aren't going to go to Africa unless they're going for a tourist. They're not going there, not moving there, they're not going to take their business. The people who are settled, they're settled here, wherever their homeland is, that's where they're going to build or not build, but they're not going to leave and go somewhere else. That would have to be done. If someone was actually going to plan to do that, that was something that would need to be done second or third generation from now. People have to get in position to transfer their wealth or wherever they are from their present country to another country. They're not going to do that in one generation.
Mm-hmm. But I could be an architect, right? But I need someone who's going to build my plan, right? Then Pianki comes in. He does the build with the construction. Pianki can't do a goddamn thing again unless he has the manpower. Then he's going to need his more skilled laborers, and he's going to need his lower skilled laborers to tidy up the mess after the laborers. Or if the laborers have to keep on, cleaning up their mess, because I used to work in a labor construction field, right? If they don't have that person doing that, then they're going to have to do it, and it'll slow down the work. Because most of the time, they'll be too busy tidying up, because there's a lot of dust and things that need to be picked up. You understand? Before you can even do another job. But here's what you need, your man there, a lower skilled worker to do his thing. But so I'm saying, where I worked, I was young and I was just a labourer. But my workers, my people I worked with, they valued the job I did, because I was always on time and I was tidy about it. And
hold
I
on, brother. 708-63. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling?
Say Negroes don't. Yeah, I'm saying
brother,
Negroes
hold on,
don't
hold on,
respect.
My brother, hold on. Let me. I got a couple more callers here. 708-663. Okay, just listen. I'll leave that old. 682-365. State your name. Where you calling from? Hello. Okay. Anybody want to chime in with what the brother was just talking about?
I'm Dolphin. I'm just listening in, guys. Just listening.
How you doing?
Doing good. Just listening to what you guys are talking about. And I don't know where those
asking,
numbers come from. Those
let me
numbers,
ask you a question
specific.
Then, because I know you got something to say. Don't tell me you're just chiming in.
Those numbers come from Forbes.
How do you think blacks are faring during the shutdowns? And how can we survive the economic collapse or can we go ahead and survive?
the economic shutdown, it's this governmental shutdown is not going to hurt us a bit. We've been without for the longest. I don't know where the brother got all that statistical data from, but 35,000 millionaires in the United States, black millionaires in the United States, but you got to classify that. That don't mean a thing. What's their net worth? It's a whole lot of athletes, entertainers that make millions, but their net worth ain't millions. So that's what one has to look at. I mean, we have a meeting with agents. They'll 400 or 500 of them will stand up, and they'll tell you their net worth is $250,000.
I know about one, and you talking to them, and my net worth is there. So there is about 35,000 black millionaires who don't draw $1 million in salary. It's their net worth.
Okay. For your information, too, I am one. I retired 2 years ago at 55.
I retired at 42.
Well, and that makes us
not getting into a money argument, right? Let's not get into a money argument. Let's not get vain now. All right.
My grandson,
16 years old, is a millionaire. So don't tell me there ain't no black meat, 35,000 black millionaires in this country.
I said net worth.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how much you make in salary.
I do financials every quarter.
And we're talking about net worth.
Are you saying you in St. Louis?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll be there.
I'm gonna say this. Any Negro who's got money like that, right? You can do something to help the people for nothing. If you're putting in that sort of money, you could be doing more for our people, bottom line. That's some house nigger action. I'm sorry to say that, bro. You're 16-year-old's rich, yeah, and you got millionaire as one. You ain't doing nothing. You're just here taking a piss out of poor people. I swear down, Pianki, must be. Because you just go around from show to show, and, you know, you've got the answer. You could help build something. You have the direction and the knowledge to bring some Negroes out there and build something from scratch and build a whole new new society within 10 years with your knowledge and know-how and money.
How many black grocery stores are in St. Louis? Black-owned grocery stores.
Oh, about two. Time you show in, Rob? time you show in?
We gonna go in for another hour, 15 more minutes, or maybe two. Why?
Yeah, I can't stay that long. I gotta go to a meeting. But
I mean, there's only two grocery stores in St. Louis, and there's
how many black-owned grocery stores are there in St. Louis? It's only about three schnooks in St. Louis.
You're a millionaire and your son's a millionaire and he's 16 years old, brother. So what's that all about? If you care about the people, surely you could open up one grocery store.
Supreme, listen. I don't know nothing about no grocery stores.
You don't have to. It's all about feeding one another. It's all about feeding. You don't have to know about diamonds, to own diamonds. It's a matter of sharing the wealth. It's about showing others how to do the same thing. Do you know how many children would love to work at a grocery store, but no one of us that come forth, or even a collective number of us, to put together grocery stores?
Well, the black grocery store that I go to, Brother Shahid's grocery store, it is black employees in there.
Look how many blacks are in St. Louis.
They all don't want to be involved in grocery stores.
It's not a matter. The grocery store is not the point. We're talking about principles here. It's principles.
If you do a market study, that's another thing black folks do. And I ain't going to say all, but people do. Just because you got the ability to open a store, you just don't open the store if the market cannot support that store.
We understand that as business people. We know that, but you know what?
I'm listening to you talk. It don't sound like you're saying. You sound like you want to open up stores and just bring people in and pay them a salary, even though the store does not substantiate that kind of revenue.
Well, you know what? That is not true because people eat. How many Arab stores are in the black community in St. Louis?
Arabs don't have no major grocery stores.
They got a bunch of small mom pops, and they definitely sending their kids to college off of the money that they take out of the black community every single day. They bring in their people from other countries and set them up in these small grocery stores, and
we
live off
that's
of that.
Nothing. That is nothing new.
Okay.
My expertise with office buildings, bridges, industrial plants, so on.
Yeah,
and gold mines in Ghana.
You're missing the point.
Yeah, Bianchi's a successful businessman. He's expert in his area. I'm pretty sure he employed black folks in his area. That doesn't mean that he can't, you know, he couldn't do more if he wanted to, but
he's done what he's done.
And why should we hold him accountable? He's done what he needs to do.
Let me say something about what Bianchi could do. Now, it wouldn't cost him more than 20 grand out of his $1 million a year. His son, his little 16-year-old gets $20 million a year, right? It wouldn't take him, it would only take him 20 grand, yeah, to put up that store and let niggas rotate that money and make the money back for themselves to you know, make money. You know, if it's successful, you could ask them, well, you know, I want to do it. If you're in your time of need and you put up these business, obviously the people should have enough righteousness and know-how and sense to know that you're the one who put them in the first place. These are good investments, just having, you know, love between the people. That's what I'm saying.
And I totally agree with you, because these children, they tell you they do not want to sell drugs. They would rather, instead of hanging in front of an Arab store, they would rather hang in on one of the stores that they have some ownership of. We talk about the wealth. Wealth has to be distributed. And even in some of your so-called scriptures, you tell you that a good man leaves an inheritance for his family. And we talk about family. It's just not talking about immediate blood, but it's talking about his whole bloodline. There's no reason why $1 trillion comes through the black community and only get less than a thimble for. That's inexcusable. You know, the war against drugs is not against drugs. It's against our people. You got 12% of the population, 51% of the incarceration, and any rocket science or any kindergarten kid know that it takes, if you got the jobs high, unemployment is low. When people are working, they don't go to jail. You don't see Arabs all in the jails. You don't see the Asians all in the jail. You don't see anybody in the jail system mostly but us, because we are not putting money back into our community so that these children can make money.
That's
hey,
right.
I'll put up the first 10,000. Somebody else put up 10,000. We can take that same money and put it into a community, and then they can open up a store and they can sell it to that community. They can take that same seed money and open up another one. And if you've only put up 10 grand that you can write off, you can give it to a nonprofit organization to get it started. And then that same seed money of $50,000, $60,000 would just turn it over, over, and over again. And before you know it, over a 60-month period of time, you got 30, 40 grocery stores in Chicago. Same folks, and now they can do
that's
the same thing in St. Louis, L.A., New York, and you just
that's
use
right.
the same initial seed money, because the money is in the community all along.
And this is the thing. A brother like, you've known Chef Rob for a number of years. Chef Rob lost his restaurant the other day. You could have gave him the money to make him whatever payments he needed to keep his business established. And you've known the brother for years. You know that Chef Rob's got a good heart. And he's out there looking, helping the people of Chicago. That's all I'm saying. If I had had millions like that,
man, listen, y'all apparently don't
know
nothing about no business.
Yeah, well,
we had a brother here that opened up a grocery store.
You can't give no.
We had a brother here that opened. Man, listen, would you let me talk? We had a brother here open up a store that Ozzy Smith was part of, and it was doing very, very well. Except for one thing, the major grocery market, as I mentioned before, Schnucks, put out an order that his suppliers do not sell him on credit. Not 30-day cash, but cash upon delivery. So what happens to him? He has to go out of business.
Man, brother, you could talk to that to someone that don't know no better. There are multiple suppliers. There are multiple places of getting staple products from. There's suppliers. There's multiple suppliers in every industry. And not only that, we're in an age where our people don't need one or two guys owning a grocery store. You need a community to own that grocery store. The community will feed it. That's the bottom line. You can talk about that. This is not in an age where one or two guys making money at a grocery store or a hair care product. Them agents don't own that by themselves.
That's it.
Them agents don't own them hair care stores by themselves. Them Arabs don't own them grocery stores by themselves. Most of these ethnic groups, they don't own these stores in our community and in their communities by themselves. They own it collectively. That's why I stated the other day, we have to have a collaborative entrepreneurial spirit. And supplies, we have an industry. Your Mac is for sale. There's no industry that will not sell to you if you show that you got the business know-how. You can get a line of credit, not a loan, a line of credit, and you can keep rolling. And the bottom line is, if you got 1,000 people in a community that owns a small piece of a grocery store, that's where they're going to go shop. They're going to go shop at the Arab place, and they're going to not go shop at the Asian place, but they're going to shop where they own.
I tell you what, you come down here, let me tell you something. You come down here and try to compete as a steel erector, and we will push you out of the market.
I'm not a steel erector.
No, I'm giving you that threat. You come here and try to get involved. You know, I used to erect structure steel in Chicago back during the time the Sears robot building was being built, and also with American Bridge Softworks plant. I done building there in Schaumburg, Illinois, a recreation center. You come here to St. Louis and try to get involved in the steel erection business, and we will put you out of business.
Man,
that
there are people that come from – wait a minute. There are people from
all
over the
world
that come to
St. I ain't talking about other people. Yes, we got Bethel who will come here and start business. Yes, we got Perkins. Yes, we have – but I'm saying you come here and you try to get in this business, and we will put you out of business.
But what would be
make
the purpose
you lose
of the
money?
Let me tell you the reason why.
One, because we control the labor.
That's my question. What would that accomplish? Is that going
Thank
ahead
you.
And helping unify
Thank
and solve our problem or create even more problems?
No, I'm telling you how it works. We control the labor and we control the suppliers. Now, you were doing all that talk about their other suppliers and all that stuff. I say you come here and try to get started at that.
Do you still do that present business? Do you still present
business?
No, I
retired from it.
Well, then you don't know because there are people
I
coming
do
in
know.
In
I get
St.
people.
Louis
I get
right
blacks.
Now,
I
coming.
Get blacks in the trade all the time. Don't tell me what I don't know.
No, you think you know because people come in St. Louis and do construction and do stuff from all over the country. Ain't no city exclusive
Name me
from
one.
Any industry.
You
no
say people
industry.
Come as if you know. Name me one.
All you got to do is Google. All you got to hey, it's public
you
information.
You ain't got to Google nothing. Name me one.
It's public information. I'm not in St. Louis. All I have to do is Google.
Well, how can you speak on it more so than I can?
Because
you know,
I
think you were doing a whole lot better when you first came on and said you were listening.
Yeah, well, you listen. Let me, because you always like to punk people, and that punking people don't go
I
nowhere.
I don't like the punk people.
You
don't
yes,
want
you, do.
You put yourself.
Yes,
you if you've been over
That's
where
you
could
do.
Be punked, then what you expect?
You're always trying to punk somebody. All
you
got to do is go
me,
to any
You're gonna
city.
Tell me what I don't know.
You don't, because you can go to City Hall in St. Louis and find out. One thing I do know about St. Louis, I can go to City Hall and find out where all the contracting business is coming from and who are the people that's doing the business. And I can assure you at least 30-40% of them are coming from out of St. Louis. They're not in St. Louis. I can
and that
assure
is
you that.
And that is a flat-out L-I-E lie.
We will say.
Most
say
of the work
that.
In the St. Louis area is not even happening within the city of St. Louis.
I said
right,
St. Louis
go ahead with
area,
your program.
In the St. Louis area.
Well, what are you going to go to city?
Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on.
Your whole player's not going to tell you anything. He don't have no jurisdiction over that.
Let's take a quick break here, man. Let's take one here.
How they going? I'll give up. It's 366-510. It's not.
Cha-la-la, cha-la-la, precious life to me. So I live my life for you.
Economics, the other brother on the line, brother.
No, he's not. He's not on. I have a new caller. Let me try to get that one in. See if you'd like to speak. Yeah, 919-768. Nine is open. State your name. You have a question or comment?
Oh, yeah, I was just listening, but I could speak. I still don't quite understand how to shut down. So I don't think the shutdown affects everyone anyway. And on a broad economic standard, I don't see how it would be a solution. I mean, how anyone could come up with a solution just dealing with that concept, a shutdown.
So how do you think black people are faring throughout this whole thing? Because we haven't really, we don't really have a whole lot of established businesses, and we're constantly going ahead and looking to go ahead. We're relying on others pretty much to keep us going. We don't have something where we can just go ahead and rely on the black community itself.
Right. Well, that's the way it's always been that way. If black people really want to make a difference or give themselves a chance, they're going to have to figure out a way to manipulate the monetary system, in my book.
Okay. And you guys agree with that, Brother Covina, man?
Yeah, you probably have to elaborate on manipulating the monetary system. I just think that as far as what you said about it doesn't affect everybody, yeah, that's definitely true. I think that if you read the paragraph, I don't know, you probably read the whole paragraph, but we were asking government shutdown or economic collapse, which might result if they don't pass the debt ceiling limit. So it was like a continuation. We were in the middle of wondering, almost like a pre-planning stage, that if this shutdown leads to economic collapse, what can we do to survive? So it's like almost like it may not be currently affecting everybody, but if there's economic collapse, then yes, it would end up affecting everybody.
Okay.
My take on that is that it's hard to conceive what an economic collapse would be under a monetary system. If there's a regiment or some people perform some type of operation, they're going to be thwarted some kind of way. Usually that's by funds. But what we're dealing with is the people who actually get engaged in a full-blown deprivation resources towards other people. What's going to happen? People who are well-funded who are going to participate in making sure that other people aren't taken care of.
Well, that's the problem. And that's the problem. You see that the Bianchi situation is the same problem we have with Jay-Z, Michael Jordan. And then what we're going to say to these niggas? Oh, well, they're going to come back and say, they got 300 million, right? Or hundreds of million, right? And they're going to say, well, you don't understand business. That's why I can't put up no business to the community. That's lame, man. That's
you know, Supreme, it's easy for you to tell other people how they should spend their money.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm dealing with righteousness.
Let me give you, righteousness has nothing to do with what's righteous to one is not righteous to the other. Let's leave that stuff. There's two things you want to do when you come to my meetings. You leave your guns and your religion at the door.
There ain't no religion, but brother, hear what I'm saying. I've got my own business right now. So hopefully by the time I hit your age, right, I can implement everything that, by the time I hit your age, I hope to be in a situation.
What kind of business do you have?
I've got one where I sell things on the market store, and I've got another shipping business that I'm going to be starting in February.
Like
well.
What things? What sort of things?
People in the UK, they need to their stuff delivered to the Caribbean. So I'm going to get their barrels and ship them, take them to the ships and ship them over to the Caribbean.
Why come we not trying to get things that's produced in the Caribbean sold in the UK?
Well, it's not a matter of that. I'm only people when they go to Jamaica, or there's people in the UK that always send things back to the Caribbean, like clothes, food, and other things. Some people, they're moving to Jamaica, right? A lot of older people are retiring, they're going back to the Caribbean. So they need their items sent over there. So I'm going to be the man to send their things over, whether it be their TV, bed, anything they want to send over to the Caribbean, that's what I'm doing.
So they buying stuff from the UK, sending it to Jamaica?
Well, yeah. And I'm going to
well,
be the one.
So how is that helping Jamaicans?
Shipping company. What do you mean by how is that helping you? I'm helping myself, bro.
How is that putting Jamaicans to work?
Hold on, brother. I've got to come
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Don't be stupid, bro, because I ain't got no business.
I asked the question, how is that putting Jamaicans to work?
I'm trying to stop from ground up, Yankee. Don't play silly buggers with me.
I asked the question, you haven't gave me the answer.
You're a millionaire. He did
say
his
answer.
I didn't hear it. How is that putting Jamaicans to work?
A millionaire. I need to do for self first.
That's the answer he gave you.
I couldn't hear.
I'm just about getting through.
He is coming low.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
I can barely hear him too. But let me add in here. I was going to say that I think the dialogue that Pianchi was having with the other gentleman was a. Except for the personal attacks, it was actually a good conversation because it's showing, like, the difference, like, economic philosophy. The other guy was saying we need to be collective, and Pianchi is, a private industry. And I think both is okay. I think we should be working collectively. Right? I'm saying we should be working collectively and putting things together. As he said, he has 10,000. I might have 10,000. Pianchi might have 10,000, or somebody else to do something. However, I don't think it's okay to go to Pianchi and say, "Oh, since you're a millionaire, you should fund all this for X, Y, and Z." He's not obligated to fund anything. That's your argument. I'm just saying. It's a good argument.
Pianchi, when I hit your age, I hope that you're old enough to see me do what you ain't doing. And I'll even help the brothers in the United States. See, like, Chef Rob's still my friend, and when I hit my million, I'm going to give him the money that he can keep his business going, yeah? If anyone is my friend in the United States, I'll send money out to you to make you keep your business going.
You know what they say about a fool and his money?
10 grand to a million.
Supreme.
What's 10 grand to a million?
You know what they say about a fool and his money?
I don't know what they say about a fool and his money, but that's what the white man says, isn't it? So that you keep all your money and you don't help your people. It's a lot of reverse psychology the devil uses in his work.
I'm just saying that it's a good conversation because you do have people who say other people's money should be used for the cause of all black people, and then, but they don't have their own money. It's like they have a way of spending somebody else's money to make the community rich. That economics. Yeah, well, I'm just saying that economics is an argument, but it probably doesn't work.
Man. Why is he up here?
Yes, sir.
Why is he up here sitting down when poor people are trying to talk about solutions to their problems and they need money? Yeah, that's always crying and screaming about. And this Negro's here, and he's got the money. Yeah, he's 16-year-old a millionaire. He gave him that money because there's no way he built that industry. That was all the industry that he gave to him. He made that money through Pianchi's mind. What's a 16-year-old going to do with $1 million? What's he going to do with that at 16?
That's the way it works sometimes, man. It's like in order for you to have that wealth, man, you got to have a strategy.
Well, let me ask you something, Supreme. Wait a minute. Let me ask you something. How much of it should he give away until he get down to $49.95?
Well, he should make sure that he don't pay taxes on all of it because, unfortunately,
he don't have to pay taxes on it. It's free and clear.
Yes,
the only thing
he
pay taxes is on the money that interest that it earns. So I was going to ask Supreme, how much of it should they give away?
What? How much of you should? I just said a little 20 grand. You could give away 100 grand easily, and you can
write it off
exactly, and just say, all right, if you Negroes don't want to do for self, I could never come back to you again. If the Negroes want to fuck it up, then they fuck it up. But at least you know you've tried. Yeah. See, once I give my money and I try and help Negroes, I'm not gonna. If they fuck it up, they fuck it up. I ain't gonna help you no more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How many times should you do that?
I said I'm only prepared to spend 100.
No, wait a minute. Now you got some going. So you said if they fuck up, then how many times should you do that, Supreme?
I'm only prepared to spend 100 grand. 100 grand.
And once they spent 100 grand, you're not indulging in that type of activity no more.
But why do they have to mess it up? Why can't they use it properly? But your guidance and the
because people got other things to do. I was talking, Supreme, I asked you the question, how many times should they do that?
You know the answer. You studied your scripture. It told you 7 times.
I don't study scripture. I don't believe it. How many times, Supreme?
You studied something. You can tell that to anybody else. You studied something.
I think it's an excellent question. I'd like to hear him answer it.
Yeah. If I had a million like you, this is what I would do. For every $1 million that I have, I'm going to give away $100,000. Now, what I would do is start up a trust where I'd finance black businesses. Any
hold
black
up, Supreme. Hold up, Supreme. So if you continuously as wealthy as you, that put you in a situation to give away 100 for every million, does that mean that we're talking about forever?
No.
You'll be doing it forever, no matter how many times someone squandered it?
But hear what I'm saying, brother. Everyone's different. So it's not like I'm going to give that person
How many hits and misses you going to do until you find somebody who ain't different?
Everyone's different, brother. A lot of Negroes are fucked up.
See, that's what I say. It's easy.
You because
it's easy to spend somebody else's money.
My answer is I would do it forever.
Brother, I have to go to a bank right now to get a loan to start this enterprise that I'm starting this year. But I'm waiting on the bank to give me a reply. They like my plan, so it looks like I'm going to get it. But they're just taking long to give me a reply. I have to go to a devil, to the bank, to get a loan, and I could get it off you. All I want is $5,000.
No, see, you say those things in the position you are, but once you get on the other side, you don't say those things. But, as I asked the question, how many times do you have to do that until you finally realize that that's something you don't want to do?
No, it's not going to be something I want to do it, brother. Because I want to come up.
It's easy to spend something you don't have, brother.
Brother, for every million I make, right, I'm going to give $100,000 I'm going to donate to anybody who wants to start their business. So it could be like 20 people who gain from that $100,000. You understand?
And I
don't see that their business plans are good. And if I don't like their business plan, I say, look, I want you to get the loan, but I want you to see your business will be just going to make no money. So go back.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because if the 35,000 people that are so-called network millionaires just did it one time, that's a $3.5 billion kitty. Even the interest alone can sustain and grow businesses all over this country overnight. And just did it one time.
That's right.
That's right.
And then wouldn't you be concerned about no government shutdown? We the government, because we are self-sustaining, self-sufficient, and we looking out for each other and not talking about I would be ashamed of myself to tell somebody my 16-year-old is a millionaire and they don't do anything. You got 2 grocery stores and nothing is that. I would just be pure shame of myself. I have 3 children. They're 36, 33, 31. They're mechanical engineers, chemical engineers, and patent attorneys and law professors. And I would not dare tell nobody how much you work when you're 16 years old. And you're going to talk about that. You, man, we got to wake up. The ones that, W.D. Du Bois said the same thing. It's the responsibility of the top 1% to come together to raise us up. That is our responsibility. If we've been blessed enough to be millionaires, very well off, high in the middle class,
W.E. Du Bois talked about the talented 10th. He didn't talk about the talented 1%.
You know what? When he talked about the talented, I love the way you correct that. It's the talented 10th, but it's really that 1% of the population, the black population, that has wealth. And if we just flip the script, we can change that overnight. You will never have our children be unemployed, selling drugs, doing none of these things if they were working. These young boys tell me on the streets of Chicago, Mr. Norris, I need a job. I don't want to sell these drugs. We all know that the war against drug is a war against our young people. They got 2.1 million people incarcerated. And they plan on raising it up to 5 million. And we, the talented 10, as you say, we can prevent that. All we have to do is we all put up, hey, look, 35,000 of us put up $100,000. That's $3.5 billion kitty. The interest alone would change the game.
You see, Pianchi? See, yeah? And your son ain't even worked a day of his life, but he's a millionaire. And he's getting interest. My, that's 20,000 a year. Interest alone. You could, some black families would live off that.
That's
you know,
right.
They live off that. Literally, a whole family of four, they live off that, the interest that your son gets. And he ain't worked a day of his life. But you saying you can't donate $100,000 for every million you make, yeah, to black people who are serious about business and they want to do for self. You could die a peaceful death, boy. You die peaceful. People be, you know, everywhere you go, you have people show you big respect for them things, man.
Absolutely.
Listen, brother, if you was homeless, I'm going to put you in my house and let you stay in my bed where me and my wife stay if you help me like that.
Yep.
Yeah,
no,
you never had nowhere to go. I'll prop your whole family up.
Supreme, you keep your bed. Keep your bed nice and warm.
But Bunky's out of St. Louis, but the brother got a good point. Now, just please, if no disrespect, if there's that the case, is let us, those that have the wealth, put together a kitty, change the game. Gaddafi tried to give Farrakhan $1 billion. Reagan wouldn't let that happen because he knows that changes the game. Let us that have wealth put up 10. 15, 20, or whatever, put it in a kitty. The interest alone changes the game. Do you know you can get $300 million a year alone interest off $3.5 billion if you didn't do nothing but tip 10, 15 million of that and put into every city to build and to grab the land that the Caucasians, the Asians, and the Mexicans are grabbing? Changes the game. Mm. Teaching our children how to be electricians, pipe fitters, welders, HVAC, giving them an education and a vocation. Changes the game just off the interest on the money that the wealthy have and not the what they have, just a crumb off the table. Because if you making millions
right.
a year, $100,000, man, is no money. And you put
that's
it together
right.
collectively, changes the game, man. Changes the game. And that's what their biggest fear is. They give enough black folks enough money, a few of them to feel good, they ain't going to do another thing to help their own.
That's right.
Now, that
man,
was what we should be ashamed of.
Yes, right, brother.
And we're not even concerned about the government. And in that, we're not concerned about a government shutdown because we are self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and we can take care of our own because we're building where we live. We're growing what we eat, not depending on someone else's industry, but we're growing what we eat. We're sowing what we wear because we're coming out of Africa, bringing in all our own material, using our own machines, building and growing that stuff. Our children don't, our boys don't wear their pants off their ass, and the girls wear them up their ass because we've made a difference. Then they're buying what they own. Your young millionaire's nephew or son or grandson, he's going to spend his money at black-owned businesses that he even owns a part of it also, and he's showing his other friends how to do the same thing, man. That's what you call love. Everything
see,
else
brother,
is garbage.
See, brother, I think that where we can agree with Pianchi and you and bring that together is Pianchi knows how to make the money. So that's money that we're going to need. We're going to need money to do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is we're planning on doing, building, having communities, self-sufficient. We got to have the skills of people who know how to make that money. So Pianchi is saying he can make so much money that he can have a millionaire grandson at age 16. That's where all of us should be there. All of us should be to have that ability that we have millionaire grandsons. Instead of saying, okay, Pianchi doesn't know how to do collective sharing of money. He doesn't have to. He knows how to make the money. That's the knowledge that we need. We need to know how to do that. Other people know how to do collective stuff. They already know. You brothers already know that. You know how to share. We just got to learn the other part. How do we make our grandsons millionaires? That's what we have to learn. We have to get that knowledge from the dude who has it.
That's
attack that brother. We need to learn from that brother.
But Pianchi could run even on the smallest scale. He could keep these little, you know, the blog talks, the ones in your area and in Chicago going. You know, little things that you could do where you could be teaching people how
you say I could
make
keep
millions.
You say you could do what in Chicago? I didn't hear that.
know what I'm saying, keep, you know, like little things like, you know, you could keep Chef Rob and other, you know, Kavini man and other brothers you want to have blog talk shows around your area, you know, or Chicago or wherever. I'm just trying to say you could do little things even. And you could have your own blog talk or own channel where you could be, we call it, where you could be teaching people how to make get wealth, how you made it. Your story alone could help someone, because you might have someone else who's trying to be in the same industry as you. Now, he might hear what you're saying, and then instead of you two going into competition, you could, you know, make him have a, you know, find, you could have another idea and make him branch out somewhere else, maybe Canada or something like that, you know.
Canada.
Under your organization, you know, I don't know, man.
All right, so I don't went
I don't
from,
know how your
I don't went goes. From, I don't went from Jamaica to Canada. Oh, keep on, I'm listening.
I never told you to go to Jamaica. I never told you to come. I'm telling you to help your people first. You know, charity starts at home, you know. I'm just trying to say that you could, if someone, because you said that you'd run another steel business out of business, and we can't be into that. I'm saying, rather, if you be giving people advice on how you made it in your business, I'm saying that someone else might have the idea of doing the same thing themselves. They might have had that idea. They might hear what you're saying, and you two can get together, and you could say to them, look, you can run, we can have another internet, make it your business international and go to another country. You set them up in that. The money is all still going back to you. You're still getting a cut of it. But he's running it in Canada. He's running it.
Yeah,
in
so who's going to manage all that?
Well, he can, because that's what he wants to do, brother. That's what
he
wants
who is
to do.
He?
I'm just trying to say, from you giving your advice on how you made it, people can hear that and strive to, you know, want to ask you questions. You can give people free advice. You're on a lot of blog talks, so I know you've got the time.
I think the way that it would be beneficial is that a brother would come to Pianchi and he would run by a normal business proposal and say, Pianchi, I got this business proposal for your company. You're in St. Louis, East St. Louis, wherever you are. I want to do the same thing and somewhere else. Show me your skills. You'll get a cut of percentage. So you don't have to do nothing. Just show me your skills. I'll stay and I'll go to Pittsburgh, for example, or I go to wherever. I'll go to Portland, Oregon and do it. Wherever, it doesn't matter. It just... Show me your skills, and you get a cut. Now, see, if Bianchi was a proper businessman, he'd be like, okay, I can just show him the skills. He can go out and make his money, and I'll get my cut. He can,
right.
And then he didn't be able to show, hey, I'm Bianchi. I showed brother Covina Man or whoever, I showed him how to do this business. He went out and became a millionaire. Now his grandson's a millionaire. Learn from me or him, and then we can all duplicate this. That's the way you approach your brother who has that knowledge. You approach your brother, and you say, business-wise, you don't approach your brother. You don't approach – it's not going to work. Approach Pianchi with a shaming tactic and say, you better do this for black people because it's not going to work. You're just going
to
push him away.
Let's take one a little higher than that. Bianchi, just for your information, even when I was in grad school 20 years ago, we have a business plan outline. And I've done it a number of years. I give it to people. I said, look, you want to start this business? Because people come to me all the time wanting to start a business. I give them the business outline, all the data, financial information, the market, everything. I said, plug in this information and get back with me, and we'll go from there. Not one person has done that. That lets you know if they're serious or not. You give them a business plan outline, whatever industry you want to go into, it doesn't matter. It's almost like a cookie cutter. You know who, what, when, where, why, and how.
That's
get
right.
that data
That's
and
right.
present it to a man. Present it, and then he don't even have to use his cash. And many times you don't. Just give you the connections and tie it in. And also just teach you how to get a line of credit. We don't need loans, brothers, but lines of credit changes the ball game. Because if you got a $100,000 line of credit, it is more powerful than a $100,000 loan.
Well, literally. Line of credit is based on your assets. But I got business plans on my desk in here, at least a couple. And some of them have turned out to be very successful, especially the ones that the Nigerians do.
Okay, but then it's not a plan anymore. It's a workable business.
What about the one I sent you, Bianchi?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Hey, Bianchi. You talking to me, man? No, I was talking to Bianchi. I was making a joke.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Joe? Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just came in the tail end when Chef Rob was giving advice, and that is very good advice. You go to somebody like Bianchi, who's actually got the experience of doing what he's doing and being successful, and he can
but
make money.
The problem is, Joe, mm-hmm. I was going to say the problem is, Joe, is that he don't want to help, and he's trying to find ways. We're saying he could drop a little 100 grand every year, yeah, to help people, black people, who want to start up their own business.
Well, that I didn't
understand. If they come with a business
every
plan,
million he makes.
If they come with a sound business plan that he agrees with, that can make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying. And he's saying, well, you don't know business, and you can't just do that. And he's trying to compare it with his steel business, how he will run people out of business. These are my... We should be trying to exist in our business together. You should be able to have... You might have a corner shop down the road, and I have a corner shop, but we shouldn't be in competition with each other like that. We're trying to survive. We're trying to, you know, get one over on another, man.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
We can't
be into that. Black folks are suffering out here. We don't need all that.
I agree. I've been saying that for years, as long as I've been on Block Talk. You know, people who should, not only just blacks, but everybody, you know, should get together with other people with similar interests and form joint alliances and go on from there, sure.
That's right. See, he wants to move like Ted Turner and Donald Trump. That's how Tianchi wants to move, like Donald Trump, the black version.
Thing is, I think Bianchi's retired, so he may, you know, he may have other things down his mind besides, you know, stuff. But it's a good idea.
But there's no such thing as true retirement, though. We don't never retire until we're 6 feet in the ground and stuff. But at our age group, anytime you're 55 above, you're in an advisory capacity. And being in that advisory capacity, we still have a monetary responsibility as well. If Bianchi talks about 35,000 millionaires in America, there's no excuse for black people to be 51% of the those incarcerated. Our children are incarcerated in these prisons because they don't have work. Those that do have the resources, we're not asking you to just throw your money down the drain. White folks do it all the time. Agents do it all the time. They form nonprofit organizations that have designated points. That money is a complete write-off. Why would I pay taxes on $1 million and I can pay taxes on $700,000? All we're saying is that to get our collective selves together, we have to do it collectively, and it does take the top 10%.
Well, you're right.
Beautifully said, brother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people on BTR and Supreme and Bianchi have been on other shows, and a lot of people are, I got to best say.
Well, I didn't know that he had money like this, Joe. I didn't know he had money like this. He's a millionaire.
Yeah.
His 16-year-old son's a millionaire. Now I heard this type of information, it's a revelation to me. Because I thought he was in the hole just like everyone else.
Ooh, Bianchi?
You understand? I didn't know we had that.
Fact, no, Bianchi's a builder. He's an engineer or an architect. He's in the construction industry.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had money like that. His 16-year-old son who hasn't worked a day in his life, right? He's a millionaire.
Hell, he don't work.
The thing is, even if he's not a millionaire, what do you know?
He'll tell you he works.
There are a lot of people. There are other businessmen on BTR, for example, that a lot of black people can go to and say, you know what? Can you tell me how I can become successful in my business? As a matter of fact, I tried to tell people that about a year ago. There's a person who, I don't know if he still has the show, but his specialty was to set up, if not ordinary businessmen, but black businessmen in their own business. And he said he set up a couple of thousand. He's on BTR. I took down the name and everything, but yeah, nobody was interested.
Yeah, that's a great analysis. That's excellent analysis.
Let me see if I still have the guy's name, as a matter of fact. Because if I do, I'll share it with you guys. Cause I
know
anybody
hear me?
I hear you, Chef.
Yeah, we hear you.
Well, I want to know, Chido Bianchi, what is your aim of coming up on a place like, you know, this show especially, Chef Rob, when, you know, Chef Rob's a serious man.
What's my aim for coming on this show?
Yeah, what's your aim? And you go on a lot of...
It's
like,
simple.
You know,
it was simple. Yeah, I can answer that simple. Chef Rod sent me a text message and asked me to come on the show.
I've heard you call in to even Lord Abbott the other day, and you telling him that he should do his thing. These brothers are once
called in on where?
In the trash. So I heard you calling in. What's his name again? Lord Abbott the other day.
Lord Abbott. Say, I don't know no Lord Abbott.
Yeah,
what are we
Lord
talking
Abbott.
About?
He was talking about the Moorish political thing. He's saying that they can get reparations from the government and that. And you went up there and you said, well, I think you've got a good stand and I think that you should do it. Now you know the Negro ain't got no money.
I didn't call in on no show talking about no reparations. You must have me mixed up with somebody else.
No, you weren't talking about reparations. He was talking about how he could get reparations. And you called in and you said, well, I think that you should got a good proposal and a good plan. And then he said to you, well, he needs everybody. You can't have him by
well,
him, you know?
Blacks are not going to get reparation from a begging standpoint. You got to have something that somebody wants. Or should I say somebody needs.
But if you know that, why are you telling the brother, well, I think you've got a good ground for your case, you should go up there and do it.
You know, I'm only hearing about every other word that you're saying, by the way.
Alright, can you hear me now? Yeah?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. What I'm saying is that you went up on there, on the man's show, right? And he's talking about how he can get reparations by saying he's a Moor. And sovereignty.
Oh,
by,
saying he's a Moor.
Yes. And you went up there and you said to him, well, I think you've got a good case and I think that you should present that. Now, you either taking a piece. You must have been taking a piece by going up there saying, yeah, I think you've got a good case. And you're up here saying, well, that's you can't get no reparation. That's crazy. So why didn't you tell the brother that? So I'm saying, what is your aim for coming on these shows? When you're a millionaire and you hear Negroes complaining about how they're trying to make money. That's what I'm saying.
Well, why would you let somebody go down a path where at the end of it, there's going to be something waiting there that's going to cut their head off, and you know that.
Jay-Z don't call up DTR.
No, Jay-Z is a very good business person. I'm really impressed with the things that he's getting involved in, along the lines of being an agent for professional sports athletes.
Now, he's got money, and he's got debts to our
family.
His money for it.
Okay.
That's how it is when you're in. I've got friends who are in sports and that, and it's got money. They always have businessmen, white guys, right, coming up to them, right, and offering them business solutions.
Supreme, your communication is bad. You know, if you're gonna give somebody advice, you at least have to have communication where they can hear what you're saying, not every other word.
Well, there's
can I get some in on this conversation?
Yes.
Yes. Say your name. Where are you from?
Oh, this is Robert X, man. Hotel. How you doing?
Oh, what's up, Robert? Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm
what's happening,
sure,
Rob?
Man,
boom promotion.
Much.
Brother J.
Yes, sir, Brother J. You know, I'm gonna be real short here because every time I hear the brothers in St. Louis, man, you know, it's funny you mentioned Jay-Z just a minute ago because there's another saying by Dre who's equally successful, perhaps not as successful. And it goes something like, if you can't change the people around you, change the people around you. What that means is there is no one business model to be successful. But I tell you, I know quite a few millionaires. I'm not one, nor do I care. It's not important to me. What's important to me is the lives and aspirations of African people wherever I go. Based on a historical construct that has basically rendered us based on certain philosophical belief systems obsolete. That's where I am, and I'm going to do everything within my power to elevate my people for as long as I'm here. Everybody has a right to do what they will with their capital. That's not the issue. The issue is for us. Your conversation was, how will the government shutdown affect black people? I think that was your discussion. Not a singular individual, because most of the millionaires that I know, they like to think that they engage in rugged individualism and got where they are
through the sweat of their brow. And again, I know a good dozen. But I tell you, and I've told them, and they don't necessarily disagree, you won't find a pair of Hanes on the planet that kiss more ass than these black millionaires. Most of them got their money through kissing the ass of politicians and getting government contracts. That's how they make it. Okay?
Yeah.
The others come through the sports entertainment complex. But very few of them have been inventive enough to have created anything to change the paradigm, not just for themselves. That's the toast of success. You just don't just change your singular paradigm. Any pair of Hanes can kiss ass. But the test of who you are, and I use Brother Ed Gardner, for example, is how do you affect the lives of other people that's within your orbit, and even bringing in those who are not in your orbit. Because you see, I think someone said a fool and his money is soon parted. Those 35,000 black millionaires that was mentioned earlier, it's apparent that these are the people who basically are self-consumed with themselves. So why are they even a part of the discussion? The discussion needs to be about how the government shutdown will affect black people, and more importantly, what can we do to neutralize the effects of government shutdown on black people? I think that was your subject matter. Is that not correct?
That's correct, sir.
So we need to about, since your question dealt with a collective, I think we need to be about the business of dealing with the problem in a collective manner.
Yeah, I don't know how it got on me.
Nor do I, because you are not the issue at all, period. It ain't going to be the issue relative to black people, because ultimately there's a thing inside of black people called a heart. And you either take that heart and do what you got to do to put yourself in a position where you can be successful, or you go on to your business, continue what you do, and become consumed by this system that will eat you alive, spit you out, your children out, and burp behind it. That's real. And so I just choose to deal with the collective model of black people moving together as a group, because every other race of people in this country, don't get it twisted, all operate from a group concept, and that's how you see them moving, in a group. I don't care if it's Jewish, Arab, and you can go to any country in the Arab construct, and you'll find them working together as a group when they come here. Go to Latin America, Mexicans, or anywhere in Latin America, you'll find them working in that group construct. The problem is we've been bred on a slavery diet, and now we're regurgitating the results of that slavery diet, that 1865 construct that don't exist beyond 1865, and is spitting out these rugged individualist, Hanes, ass-kissing Negroes like nobody's business, 35,000 of them, and you wouldn't know they even existed. You would not know they existed.
Well, there's a lot of African-Americans. And there's a difference between black and African-American, by the way. There's a lot of us doing a lot of things, but there's not no near where enough. And it's not in the, you know, blacks live, this group live in economic regions that they occupy, but they don't control. And that's one of the conversations that I have from time to time, try to speak to groups about trying to make those things change.
Let me tell you this, brother, and I'll be real quick. The technological environment allows black people to use their genius like we've never had the opportunity before. It allows us the opportunity to use our brains, and that's where the discussion needs to go. Because in the world of tomorrow, the battle ain't against, it's not going to be necessarily against races. The battle will be who has access to the smartest brain matter. I'm talking about computer data that's taking the place of thinking or brains. And that those few people who exist in the realm of real thinking from a creative standpoint are going to be the dictators of who, what, why, when, where in the world of tomorrow. We need to be about the business of preparing our children for it. 25 years ago, I was going into the high school telling the young people, your enemy will not be against a so-called white man. Your enemy will be against yourself, because you're going to have to know how to maneuver this thing that they call the Internet in terms of the technological revolution that we find ourselves in. And if we don't understand that it's something minutely small as a hair particle can change the whole dynamic of the technological system. And that our children are brilliant in that area. The problem is we don't have systems, which is what black people suffer from. We suffer from lack of a systematic approach to deal with what affects us. And so we keep going around looking for somebody to save us, and it ain't going to happen. I don't care if it's Jesus, Allah, or any so-called black millionaire. It's never happened in the history of mankind that no one person has ever saved any group of people, unless you deal with fiction. It don't happen. So black people, like all other people, are going to have to work as a collective. And if you go around people who will constantly have you vibrating on a low level, make you susceptible to all kinds of diseases, I suggest that you can't change that person that's around you, you change the people around you. It's real simple.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. One of the most enjoyable things that I used to enjoy with black people, especially here, was a friend of mine by the name of Terry Harris, was a master option teacher. And we used to love to teach them how to trade in stocks and options. And an advanced option class for a person to enroll in would cost you in the thousands of dollars. Well, hell, I used to teach that for free. And turned out some very successful people during the time when the market was in the right position, where they became very profitable for me. Matter of fact, I just had one to text me not too long ago and said that.
But brother, yeah, that's one part. But you have the money. You have the money to bring, you know, these brothers you and sisters. You have ideas. You have the money to bring it to fruition, brother. And that's what we're talking about. What are you doing with your money?
This is the message he sent me. Just got back from Africa, my brother. Headed to China in December on my next vacation. The world is my address. Amin Ra. So that was one of my young students, and he's doing very, very well. You know, people choose to do things in different ways and how they feel comfortable about it. And, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, I don't know how he got his money. He must have got a loan somewhere. Why is he asking the devil for money?
How he got a loan? I don't know. I don't think he was in the loan business. He was in the stock and option business.
I'm sure there's at least 10 people in the state of Chicago that has a good business plan, sound business plan, black brothers and sisters. Right?
Chef Rob.
Oh, why did they have to ask the devil for money?
Chef Rob. Chef Rob had to step away. He was doing something for his business. He'll be right back as soon as he can.
Okay. This is brother AC.
What's up, AC?
How's it going? I've had the dubious pleasure of listening to and speaking with Brother Bianchi on numerous occasions involved with the Chef Rob show. And, Brother Bianchi has always caused skepticism to rise within me listening to his conversation, I'll call it. And unfortunately for me, I have been cursed with an extremely good memory. And my memory tells me I've heard the story of Terry Harris before, 2AT, verbatim. And the last time I heard the story of Terry Harris, he had just sent you an email about basically the same story that you just shared with the audience. Brother Bianchi just shared with the audience about the options genius who had just sent an email, blah, blah, blah. But, that had to be almost a year ago. So, he's continually sending you emails about the success that he's having with.
No, I didn't say. I didn't say. When we met Terry Harris, that was that must have been back in 2000.
Yeah, I know. You told me that. I heard
Terry Harris,
before.
Wade Cook.
Right. Well, you continue to drop names. My point is, I heard that you relayed the story to me before, and the story that you relayed to me, it had to be a year ago. is verbatim what you just stated. And, you know, I'm kind of confused here.
I didn't find what Yankee
the same conditions existed that existed a year ago are still happening this very day?
No, Mark is different now.
Mark is different. No, I'm talking about the email that he gave you about his success. That's a bit of information that you relayed to us.
No, Terry.
Brother's asking you is...
Brother Bianchi.
Text that you just read, was that a recent text or was it a text
you told
received?
The text I read about an hour ago from another friend of mine.
That's what I'm saying. The text you got was just an hour ago, but you relayed the same story to me a year ago.
When did I relay this story to you, man? I didn't relay this story to you a year ago.
Your memory's so bad.
We can get past this.
I think we're focusing too much on Bianchi.
I'm cursed with a very good memory, especially about you. Okay?
Let's get on with the subject matter.
You
don't remember me.
This text is dated October.
But it doesn't bother me that I remember you.
This text is dated October 13, 2012 at 10:41 a.m.
The brother is saying you appear to have a not-so-subtle anti-African collective.
And we've had that discussion, too.
I like somebody calling somebody a liar.
Well, it don't have to be
have
that.
Do I have to say the word? I mean, I'm trying to be some tact, some diplomacy about this.
So while you guys are arguing about that, I found the link that we were talking about. I put it in the chat room. So it's too late.
See, there's your problem right there. See, that brother in St. Louis, because I've had a run-in with him, too. But I ain't mad at him because I understand him. It's a singular mindset based on I. It's all singular based on I. And that's good. So that's why I'm saying we cannot allow ourselves to sit back and wait on people who think that they've made. Let me tell you something. A millionaire means absolutely nothing in 2013. It means absolutely nothing.
I'm glad you said that.
You're an accounting error away from the poorhouse. Period. And particularly if you're in the market.
You might need to repeat things to do with the market.
you're at somebody else's beck and whim.
The easy way to resolve this is just to communicate with Bianchi. Send him email. Send him some work plans. See if he sends back any kind of information that's actually credible, and then you can go from there.
Well, I work with Brother Dolphin. We tend to deal with this thing from a different standpoint as opposed to a singular, I got mine, let me get away from these other niggas because, I don't want this to rub off on me. I'm not saying that's you, brother. I'm saying that attitude, and you've been around them people, you know exactly what I'm talking about because I've been around them, okay? That attitude is pervasive to the point of toxicity, all right, among these Negroes. I call them genetically modified.
But you're all assuming that Bianchi is a liar. How do you know he's a liar?
What I'm saying is, in my own singular conversation with him, I find him to be anti-African from a collective standpoint, and that's cool if that's where he is. He's basically a singular-minded, short-sighted,
I found them to be kind of critical of black mindsets that are kind of, at one time, were very prominent on BTR, in which they were always talking about how they couldn't get anywhere and are always blaming white people.
Yeah, that still goes on today.
And there's no doubt that white people have changed their position around.
Many of them have.
Anyway.
So let me say this.
The proof is in the pudding. I've got links in the chat room that people were asking me about. I did have it on my computer. One of them's to a show. I don't know if the show was still on, but the guy had a BTR show on. He had done 4,000 startups. So I think that would be a good source for people to go to find out whether or not he can actually help anybody who wants to be a businessman. And that's what
I'm
going to
say. That's my point.
We need more brothers, as many as possible. We're dealing with a collective. One man can't do everything, just like what a brother said.
A Messiah is not supposed to. When the Jews got ahead and the Asians got... Look, the Jews have a singular, individual, household mindset.
That's African, though.
As a collective.
It's a common collective. It's not an organized collective until they organize themselves within a singular community. But the singular household...
I beg to differ with you. They come out kibbutz. Kibbutz, by definition, is a collective effort.
Okay. Fine. Everybody...
Yes, sir.
Knows. Fine.
They have a hive mentality.
Okay.
And they work their businesses based on that hive mentality. But you see, you go to Asia, you'll find the same thing existing.
All right, then find another hive. Then find a hive of black people who are, of the same mindset.
But now you're mirroring what I just said. You can't change the people around you. Change the people around you.
Okay, then go change the people around you. And go, everybody should find their own hive.
Yeah, the easiest way to change the people around you is travel someplace else from where you are now.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. That's one way.
No question about it. And you do see things from a different point of view. And it allows your thinking to expand when you travel. Well, I can tell
what
you what my ultimate goal is. Wherever I travel, whenever I go places to give lectures, and I'm a 25 to 30 year researcher and lecturer. Okay, I don't know if that qualifies as a business, but I also make everything I put on my back. I don't go in nobody's store and buy anything unless it's socks or underwear. Okay? So I don't know if that qualifies me as being a singular entrepreneur, but everywhere I go, I try to tell black people based on research, and I'm sure Pianchi would agree with this. You don't make any move in the business world without research. It allows you to basically prepare not for just what's occurring, but what's going to occur, and you make your moves based on that. And I've tried to tell black people, this is why we can't get anywhere, because we sit here focusing on Pianchi and people like him, and they're not the issue. The issue is black people as a collective based on the question, okay? And that black people need to become corporate. Black people need to become corporate.
I don't totally agree
thinking.
With that.
Well, that's fine.
Well,
black people
need to
become corporate.
That's not true. Black people, just like anybody else, as I told you before, I can recognize at least two or three different mindsets within what you call the black community.
Yes, but I'm talking about
the thing right now. You have certain ethnic groups that's controlling your economic community.
No problem.
You have to push them out. The people are not going to change. The people there are consumers. They are controlling your consumer base. That needs to change.
We are in fact doing just that. And there are other business people that we are affiliated with. Don't get it twisted. We may be late in coming, but a lot of times it's easy to move the 3,000-pound rock when you have a tool to move the 3,000-pound rock with it, because now you can break it down a little bit at a time, and it's much easier to move. Still weighs 3,000 pounds in the collection.
I mean, consumers that come next year don't pay the bills for this year.
Everybody's consumers. There's no such thing as a citizen. Everybody's consumers.
I'm trying to tag into the statement that the brother made a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
What do you mean, consumer? You have to better control your consumer market. Absolutely.
I'm gonna say this again. If I own the market from which I participate in, I'm more likely to remove those people who are part of that market.
So why don't you click on the link in the chat room that I put in there? It might help everybody to find out how, if you don't have a business, how to have a startup. That's what the two links were in there for.
I think that's excellent.
The brother just spoke about controlling your consumer market. That doesn't have an appeal to any business-minded person on the call now?
That's right. That's right. That's all wrong with the hell this foolishness is going on, man.
Everywhere you go,
how do we just miss the concept about controlling your consumer market.
Deal with this, brother.
Well, you have to have a business first. And before you have the business, you
That's
have to
what
know
I'm
what
saying.
Your market is.
Who cares about a startup? Who cares about
I
a
think
startup?
Oh, you don't care about a startup? So everybody
has a business.
Nobody can complain.
You have to have a product of sales. You have to have something that you're giving your customers. It's all about
That's
money.
Right. You got your product. You got your marketing strategy. And you got your target base. Now, what happens when you start to concern yourself with controlling that target market to the point where you want to multiply it?
What do you mean by controlling your product market?
You want them to perform or to act in a way where they either consume more or attract more consumers.
And how do you plan on doing that?
First of all, you have to recognize it to begin a plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the question. That's what I'm saying. The brother,
you know
when
what
someone
come,
says, when someone says you have to consider controlling your consumer market, that should be like the largest question mark in the world.
Mm-hmm. And how do you plan on doing it? There are marketers who do instruct people on how to do that. You know, how do you dominate your market niche? There are three ways of growing a business. You got to get customers. You got to get them to buy more. And you got to increase your price so that the individual price would be a little bit more or as much as the market will bear so as to increase your profit margins. I'm in marketing.
The product could actually be cheaper, but it depends on how it's produced. But how do you think food stamps came into, well, not only in the black market, but it also on the scene, period? Food stamps was something that was instigated by farmers. American farmers.
It was
farmers
put out here
that.
To basically maintain the farming industry. You're absolutely correct.
It
was basically a backdoor government subsidy, if you will, just in another form.
Here's a great business that Yankee could open up. He could open up a chain of supermarkets. You'd make a lot of money. And you can employ people. A chain of supermarkets where if black folks buy from your shop, you can give them credit. So
who's
going
to supply me?
Well, you can get them from different, from the devil, innit? And different products. All
Wait a minute,
all
say that again.
You can get them from the devil, innit?
I can get it from the devil. So Christmas shopping is next week, and I'm gonna depend on the devil to supply me what I need to have my shelves stocked with. That sounds like a formula for failure.
Okay. Hey, I'm back. Oh, hello. Wait a minute. Hello, I'm back, and I had a couple of things to do. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll go in overtime because I'm just letting the conversation go. I had a couple of things to take care of. And let's not keep beating up on Pianchi. All right, here, let me play my motivational speaker, and I hope he's yours too. I always play, I gotta play him at least once in my show.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yeah, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. If that don't motivate your ass, something wrong with you.
That don't motivate me, brother.
Shit, it should motivate you.
I know, I understand that may motivate some people, brother. But that negativity, I mean, we can walk down the average black community and get all the negativity we need, brother. That's part of the problem. We need to be about being as positive towards each other as we can.
I want to hear real quick is, let me start and go down the line, Brother Kavina Man. I want to hear about the system if it collapses. What would be a viable plan? What direction do you think we should go in? And I want everybody to chime in, but one at a time, I don't go down the line. Brother Kavina Man, can you deal with that real quick?
Yes, sir. I think that basically, as individuals, we need to at least try to get some basic foods and, you know, foods on hand. If one doesn't know how to cook, one should start cooking, saving some money, get the basic staples like, you know, rice and flour and stuff like that. You know, and collectively, you might want to start picking up the phone and calling them cousins and aunts and uncles if y'all ain't talked to them in a while. And, you know, reestablish, you know, communication just in case. People need places to stay, or you might need to stay place to stay. Because if there's a collapse and people start to, you know, don't have income coming in, have to leave out their immediate area, you have some place to go. You know, and then next up, black folks collectively, we need, you know, everybody touched on it. We need to start, at least basically, start putting together some collective food, you know, stores and stuff. I really liked what the brothers were saying earlier about investing in, you know, community grocery stores and whatever. That should be a basic start, you know, long term. But short term, you know, the shutdown might be next. It's supposed to be this coming Thursday. So, or the debt crisis. So, you got from now to Thursday, man. I'll start packing up on some staples around the house, man. That's what I gotta add. Hello?
Who next?
Yeah. Let me go and finish.
Brother Dolphin, you still there? Dolphin Norris. All right, we'll come on back. We're going to go ahead and go with Brother Pianchi.
No, I was doing something. Call back on me later.
Okay. Yeah. Robert X.
Yes, sir. I probably see it a little bit different than most people. I think if the government shut down, one of the consequences of the government shutdown is going to be a devaluation of the currency. That means all that you think you got, you're going to have even less. You follow me? The next thing, I think based on that scenario, black people are at the mercy of a system that has none. And so a lot of us are going to catch it. That's just a harsh reality for not doing the things that we should do as a collective, just like everybody else. We're at the bottom. I think when the weight falls, we're going to catch most of it because we're at the bottom. That's an economic fact. And a lot of people will end up getting hurt. But people get hurt on this planet all the time when you don't do the things that's necessary to make sure that pain is lessened on you. So I don't see a good thing happening with the so-called government shutdown. I think the fact that we have to rely on the government as much as we do, as consumers and nothing more, is going to, in fact, manifest itself in the kind of pain that I don't think most black people have seen in their lives, brother. I'm just being honest.
Okay. Hey, Joe, you still there? Going twice, Joe. Brother AC, you still there?
Still
How did you feel about that? This country
let it collapse.
Let it collapse?
What did he say?
Let it collapse. We've had this discussion before.
I'm sort of with him.
All the thrones being pulled off the emperor. This is just another piece of the garbage that's being taken away from.
That's right.
I mean, you know, the infallibility of the financial system of the United States of America is a myth. Just like
that's
all
right.
The other myths. Greatest country in the world, freest country in the world, everything that we as a people have been inundated with and we know to be untrue is being exposed to everyone in the world. Let it collapse.
That's
like
right.
The brother said earlier, everything bad that happens in this country affects our people the most. At this point in time, I would suggest we be the ones more capable of surviving the collapse than any other people on this planet. So let it collapse.
Thank you, AC. Hey, brother, 919, I didn't get your name, though.
Yeah, that's Brother Jay. Kaboom Promotion.
Brother Jay, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that this shutdown is equivalent to a hypnotist performing his activities to instruct the person he's trying to hypnotize, and then suddenly just walks away. That's, to me, that's the shutdown. So in reference to that, I don't really think that there's a such thing as a shutdown. And I kind of float along the terms and descriptions that Brother Joe gave, except I don't think that black people who are left in this state after being conditioned under the supposed government and the conditions provided from the government, I don't think they're going to be able to survive if they're left in this kind of condition. However, if we are the adults that we credit ourselves to be, I welcome the shutdown. You know, I welcome it because it doesn't mean that we are supposed to suddenly abandon our responsibilities. If some of us need to get up out of the bed in the morning and go to some of those stores that we already have and make sure that we distribute the resources in those stores responsibly, then that's what we have to do. Any other thing that we need that we already are running now before it shuts down, we're already familiar with those activities. There's no reason why we can't continue to perform those activities. And if we are in fear of something challenging that, I say before it shuts down, get to know the people involved with handling those processes right now. If it's a trucker that's bringing food from the farm belt to the storage unit or from the storage unit to the grocery stores.
Interesting.
That's my take on it.
Thank you, brother. Hey, Poverty, you still there?
I'm here, brother. I'm here.
Since you're in the U.K., the problems here in the U.S. with this government shutdown, because I know you've heard a lot about it, how does it affect you over there? Or should you just let this thing just keep on going, taking its course?
Well, like I say, you know, all the time, and I agree with what Kazini man was saying with, you know, stocking up, you know, my advice for you. Because all this means, if you are falling to